Welcome back to the Blindside Rewind. I am one of your hosts, Jeremy Timmerman, joined as always by my buddy Justin Baxley. Justin, what's going on, my man?
Not much, brother. Just trucking through. We got some weather coming through. Well, not in our area yet, but we've got a hurricane down in Florida, and we've got some sister stations that we work with, and also having, you know, some of our eastern counties that are kind of in the mix for some potential weather out of that storm. And so we've been working really hard all week with hurricane covers. It's my first time working at a hurricane at a TV station. So I don't know if I've announced that big career move for me on the podcast or not, but I left newspapers, now in television news, as a director of digital content, at a station here in town. And, you know, really great opportunity for me. I'm excited about it. And, you know, I really do feel like I'm getting to make a pretty big difference in this hurricane, getting not only information out to the folks around here, but we've been doing these informative little YouTube stuff, and folks have been able from inside Florida start asking our meteorologist questions, which is really great. So, obviously we send our prayers down to the folks down there in Southwest Florida, who are, you know, obviously going through a really devastating event down there.
Yeah, man, it's tough. We kind of thought for a stretch there that I might be flying solo tonight, but Justin is pulling double duty. He's been doing all that work for the news station, and he's also doing work for you guys and helping me put out a podcast. So we appreciate that.
But how have you been doing, man? I feel like we've because of all that busyness, we hadn't talked as much this week. What have you been up to? I know you've got a role over there and keeping these kids safe at the school board.
Yeah, I mean, it really, for us, because of the nature of, like, you know, sending kids home, it has ramifications. You know, you if you cancel school, you might have to make up that day later. You know, then you have parents who may or may not be off of work. So we kind of have to wait. A lot of people want us to make a decision, you know, on a Monday for a Friday, but we can't really do that. So, you know, but luckily this time it's been a little bit calmer. Sometimes we're inundated with calls at the central office of, hey, you guys closing. And this week hadn't really been that way. I've just been keeping track of all the football games. All our football games from Friday got moved to Thursday and shuffling all of that. But it's been pretty cool.
Well, that's good, man. I'm hoping you've got to enjoy your week a little bit more than I have in terms of being busy. And hope you've had a couple beers for me at least.
I have this week, I think. I did. I don't have any tonight, but I have had a couple this week.
speaking of having a little fun, even when not everybody else is, tonight we got to have a little fun and watch a little bit of Survivor.
There's a segue. There it is.
It was a rough one. I hadn't had a chance to really work on it this week, but we got us a little segue in. Pretty solid episode. We'll go ahead and jump right into it. Jeremy, what's your first takeaway? We've been doing this little format. We each give a little bit some takeaways. You know, we'll do best words edit there at the end, and then maybe throw a winner pick in there. You never know with us.
You never know. It's just whichever way the wind blows. So my first takeaway is I almost feel like Survivor listened to our podcast last week. I know that they didn't edit this episode in the 7 days since we saw the last one. But last week we talked a little bit, or I know I did, about when they have these advantages, we don't know the wording, and it drives me crazy that's one area where they're just a little sloppy sometimes. Sometimes it seems intentional, but then sometimes it's just almost like they just don't take the time to make sure we know what these advantages mean, and it can be frustrating. And tonight, the members of the Yellow Tribe, whatever that one is, Baka. The members of the Baka tribe discussed that very thing. So it's like they're becoming self-aware of some of the things that we talk about as fans, and it's incorporating into the shows, which I think part of that is because so many of these people are super fans of the show. But you saw some of the members, I think it was Owen and Janine and who was the other one? It was the other girl that's still on that tribe. Ellie. they were discussing, what does Gabler's advantage mean? Is it the next two tribal councils or his next two tribal councils? You and I assumed it must mean the next two because his next two could be all the way through the merge. Which he could show up at the merge with an idol in his hand if they don't go back to tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
And we assumed that. Well, tonight they went through a discussion of what does it mean? We need to see the paper. What does the paper actually say? Owen, like us, assumed that's what it meant. And the girls dug through the bag. Janine found it. And it was his next two tribal councils, which plays a big role in strategy.
Wow. Yeah. It's a very different, it's a completely different advantage, Jeremy. Like, like you said, there was who was the first one last? Oh, when Jackson was not necessarily voted off last year, but like he was the first person out of the game. That tribe never went to tribal. Like, because of a big, tall guy, giant man. I'm blanking on name.
Jonathan.
Exactly. Jonathan Perry. If that
tribe had something like that, they would have never. But that person would have come to the merge with two chances at immunity.
Right. When you knew at that point, you got to play it at one of those first two at the merge versus like with Gabler. Because it's pre-merge, like he can bet on himself to not have to use it in that first one, because then you're right, he may get to hold it until the merge. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah.
Versus like, you know, let's say he went back to back times. Well, that idol is done after the first two tribals, like that's a completely different advantage. So like if it was the way we thought it meant, his idol would have been no good after tonight. Instead, like, he may have to use it next week. He may get to wait until the merge. But we know the next time that Gabler goes to tribal, Gabler's using that idol in some way. You know, whether it be for himself or his ally, or, if it is the merge, if I'm his team right now, I'm probably trying to stay on his good side because there's a chance that we get to the merge and he doesn't need it because he's one individual immunity. And this is, let's just say this is his first opportunity to use it. Well, he gets to use it for somebody that isn't him. So, like, it increases his stature, his standing within the game, because they know that pre-merge, if they go back to tribal, he's immune. So they've got to pick someone else to go home. If it's post, if it's after the merge, then they are more inclined to want to work with him because if he wins immunity, he might be able to play that for them and save them and keep them moving. So it really gives him a lot more power in the game than if it had died tonight.
Yeah, it does. And in another way, it gives him power is it gives him options, because you talked about maybe he wins immunity at the first immunity challenge, but another possibility, what if, you know, we hear from people who are physically gifted all the time about not wanting to give themselves, not wanting to put too big of a target on themselves. Well, if they go to the first individual immunity challenge, and it's something he's gifted in, but maybe he doesn't want anybody to know that he's good at that particular thing yet. Maybe it's an individual puzzle and he doesn't want everybody to know he's really good at puzzles yet. He doesn't have to win it. Because he's got that idol, he has to play. There's no reason not to play it. So,
yeah.
And enough people know about it that it's like, I'm just going to play it. You know, if it.
Because two whole tribes know that he has this idol, right? Because it's Dwight's tribe knows. Because Dwight let them know when he came back, well, because I didn't get the advantage, that means Gabler has. So, like, that tribe knows that Gabler has an advantage. They may not know that he has an idol, but they know there's an advantage for Gabler. And then his whole tribe knows.
Right. So he knows that, like, there's no reason for him to hide it. There's no reason for him to, like, pretend that he, you know, that he doesn't have. He's just going to play it. He's going to play it. If he can get that thing all the way to the merge, he doesn't have to. Now, I'm not saying he throws the challenge necessarily, but just – if there's an element that he doesn't want people to know, especially something like puzzles that we know is going to come up, if there's, gosh, if there's 11 individual immunities or 9 individual immunities, whatever it ends up being, and probably a good 6 of them are going to have a puzzle element. If he doesn't want people to know that he's good at puzzles yet, he doesn't have to show them that because he's got that idol in his pocket, and he knows now that he's going to have that idol in his pocket so he can make that plan. The other way that that Survivor seemed very self-aware and kind of spoke to some things that I know fans have discussed is when Cody found the Beware Advantage, which works a little bit different. I'm sure we're going to get into that later. In fact, I know we're going to get into that later. But it's still a Beware Advantage. It's still packaged the same way. He and Jesse both said, dude, Cody said, I watched season 41 and 42. I know what a Beware Advantage is, but I've just got to play it. And when Jesse was responding in a confessional, he said, has Cody not seen season 41 and 42? And does he not know that no matter what this is, he's going to lose if there's going to be something he has to do, and he's going to lose a vote if he doesn't do it. So just kind of that speaking to the fact that, yeah, we've all seen this show. It just felt like that came up a little bit more in the strategy tonight. And I kind of appreciate it. Especially I appreciated that the players were as confused about the wording of the chat of the advantage as we seem to be.
One thing I'll throw on that second part of the point you make there is that, we've always talked about certain things they couldn't do in the subsequent seasons because the people are going to be able to watch it. Like you mentioned, the hourglass a couple weeks ago when we were talking. They couldn't do the hourglass again. Like, if you've listened to our episodes, we talked about this at length last year, of which advantages do we think they can't do again. So the Monty Hall thing might be one they couldn't do again. The hourglass might be one they couldn't do again. I didn't know if they were going to be able to do the Beware Advantages again, because Jeremy brought this point up time and time again last year, is that depending on where you are in the game and how you feel about your standing, that Beware Advantage might be the thing that tanks your game and you just want to avoid it. And so something that Jeremy said, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you were worried that it was going to get to the point where people wouldn't pick them up at all. They would just ignore it and keep walking.
Especially since the reason I was worried about that is the Beware Advantage seems to have replaced the regular immunity idols, at least in the
For the most part.
At least in the tribal phase, there's not immunity idols just hidden around. There is the Beware Advantage, and so you essentially could reach a point where, and I'm going to get to this a little bit later. I still think, if anybody but Cody finds it, because Jesse outright said, if he had found that, he would not have picked it up.
Right. And so, and we talked about this last year. There are going to be players that are going to want to do that every time because they want to check off the Survivor bucket list, or they feel good enough about where they are in the game, or, you know, there's a bevy of reasons of why, I personally would probably pick it up still. Because the reward side of it is an idol, and that could be the thing that saves my game. But that's why it's a Beware Advantage, because there is risk and reward in it. If I know I'm in a bad spot in my tribe, I probably don't pick that up after seeing the last couple seasons. But you go back to Omer last year and in the last season. Remember, he flipped that entire vote when he didn't have a vote. So he was in a position where, if there was a Beware Advantage, and I know he lost his with the game of chance or whatever it was with the boat wheel, because Chanel said, oh, I can't possibly lose my vote. I have to have it for tonight, and then lost her vote anyway. But Omer specifically is somebody that I look at and think, man, if he'd have found a Beware Advantage, do you think he wasn't picking that thing up? He absolutely would have, because, again, he has that ability to go out, talk his way through the situation with or without a vote. That's the kind of player that, depending on where you are in the game, it's not really matter. And so I think there's those kind of players similar to Cody tonight that are going to always pick it up. And there's going to be people like Jesse who, I'm not touching that. And I think that's what's so great about this is we really got to peek into, because you and I, like, that was literally the discussion we had last year.
Right.
If we were on the show, what would we do? And I think you said I wouldn't touch it. And me personally, I'd pick it up every time. And so it showed, like, we got to literally watch that play out in the game tonight, which is great.
Well, and Jesse brings up another good point, another element that I don't think either you or I discussed, when you find it. Because Jesse mentioned, he was like, Cody finds this thing. We're just like an hour away from tribal. We've got everything settled out. Just leave it. And that's a great point, because it's not a one-time choice. It's not like if Cody puts it back, at least canonically in Survivor, if Cody just puts that thing right back where it is, it's not like a producer is going to go pick it up and move it. It's better TV if that thing stays right where it is, and Survivor knows that. They want it to stay where it is. If Cody makes the decision, especially if he says, I'm going to leave it here for now and I'm going to come back and get it later, it's not good TV if he comes back and they've moved it. It's good TV if they get that running thread of Cody left it this time, but he's going right back tonight after tribal. He's going to wake up at 1 a.m. and he's going to go grab that thing, because now he's got time. He's got 2 or 3 days to do whatever this task is and make a plan, because that was Jesse's point, was that we've got this plan that relies on him having a vote, and he just lost his vote. So that's another element, is when you find it. And that's a huge thing. I mean, mm-hmm. If I'm him and I find it 2 days before my next tribal council, and I don't even know if I'm going to tribal council, I'm more likely to keep it then. But if it's an hour before tribal and I know I'm going to have to vote somebody out and there's only 5 votes in play, no way. Leaving that right where it is.
Yep. I mean, like I said, like, for the most part, I'm picking it up. But there are going to be instances where I'm like, I ain't touching that thing. Nope. No way, no how.
Especially,
I will go ahead and jump.
And we'll get into it later. But he got a little bit lucky in the nature of the task, too. If it had been last year's Beware Advantage, he could not have completed it before Tribal Council.
Well, and that I was going to say, that might be another moment where Survivor is self-aware of itself, because that was kind of the complaint about those Beware Advantages last year, was that they were all interconnected, and it torpedoed games for, like, multiple weeks. Like, it wasn't like you were risking it for one Tribal. There were people that were risking it all the way through the merge. If you couldn't activate it. And to me, that was really frustrating to watch as a fan, was when they picked it up, they didn't know that the punishment was going to last potentially, I say 5 weeks, but know that I mean like 5 like episodes of Survivor, which is really like 10 days.
That's a week and a half.
Yeah. like 10 days. But like, when I say 5, I mean the episodes. But like that impacts you for the next five episodes. Like,
and that's the almost half of the game.
Right. And like, to me, that was frustrating last year, was they didn't know how bad the punishment could be, which didn't feel fair. This year, Cody knew how bad that punishment could be. He knew that he might not have a vote till the merge and still picked it up. And I don't feel bad for it. I do like that it's scaled back to the point where he doesn't have to because, like, if he picks it up tonight and he knows that he has to wait until the next immunity challenge just to even have a possibility of it getting activated, like, that just seems way too steep. And there's no way, like, that makes it a lot less appealing for me to pick up.
Yep.
This is a lot more appealing for me to pick up because, like, the consequences are not as steep, and I'm not as reliant. I'm more reliant on myself. Like, I'm more in control of what I can do to get the advantage. Like, he played an active role, and that's the thing I like, too, is that it allowed the person that found the Beware Advantage to take control and go try to, get like, accomplish a task versus, you know, the last couple seasons, it was, I sure do hope somebody says something about that goat on AstroTurf. Like, to me, that's just, like, that's not good TV. But what it also does is, when somebody says that weird phrase, all 3 tribes know exactly where the idol is. It's harder for those idols to be played, and it's harder for, and it's easier to get those folks out, and it's an unfair, like, the whole point of finding a hidden immunity idol is you can use that strategically and maybe nobody knows about it. Because we've had some really great like blindsides in Survivor history because somebody found a hidden immunity idol. Nobody knew they had the hidden immunity idol. They play it and then the whole, like they've got 10 votes against them and they all get nullified. Like that's fun for me as a viewer. What's not fun for me as a viewer is, well, everybody knows that Shan has an idol, so we can't vote her out. So like, let's just go ahead and pivot over here. And like that is not nearly as fun to me. Like it made it a lot more predictable. Right. This tonight, I didn't know who was going home because I didn't know if they had the ability to execute their plan. And so that will lead me into my next takeaway. I really appreciated the flashback editing. When you talk about them listening to our podcast, I don't actually believe that people on Survivor listen to our podcast.
I do. Okay, I believe that. I believe it. 100%.
Settle down. I won't say that. But what I do think is that that was something we mentioned last week on the show was, man, I sure wish they had done a little bit more flashback editing or, to explain the Gabler, specifically to explain Gabler's advantage. Like, I wish we'd have gotten some flashback editing or something. And tonight, they kind of kept us in suspense of whether Cody and his group could pull off their plan because we didn't know if Cody had a vote until he voted. Or until, unless you really pay attention, until Jeff read the votes. And then we got the flashback of, yeah, I was able to accomplish the mission, get my vote back, and was able to execute our plan to perfection. I love that edit. Like that was a lot of fun. That made that made the whole show. Was go ahead. That made the show. Like that was the key part of the episode tonight, and it was all on the edit, really solidifying and it really drove home the whole point we just made for the last like 10 minutes of that self-awareness. This was the culmination of that self-awareness, like with a big move that they were able to accomplish. They teased us because of the way the Beware Advantage was set up. But again, like I said before, this Beware Advantage is accomplishable. Like you can do this before the next tribal versus you have to wait. And like if he'd have lost it and we knew the task that he had to complete was, well, you got to wait till the next immunity challenge, that takes out all the suspense of who's going home, right? Tonight, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really liked the way they did that. And I really liked the way they paced tonight's show. First of all, it was a neat surprise. I didn't know it was an hour and a half episode until I had paused for a little bit. And I looked up and I was like, why is there 45 minutes left? And it's 8:45. Is my TV wrong? And then I looked on Twitter and I saw it was a 90-minute episode. But they paced it well because there's a point where with the timing and what time it was and what was going on, where I kind of sat there and I thought, well, it has to be a tie. It has to be that there's going to be a tie. There's too much time left for this tribal council and a vote. So it has to be that there's going to be a tie, which means Cody doesn't have his vote. But they just paced and it didn't really felt like they drug out tribal council. It was just a little bit, just enough. It's just a couple minutes. It's just 2 or 3 minutes. It's a commercial break where you're not expecting it. It's things like that where they just float things out by a couple of minutes. And I really thought, just thinking about the time of when they started tribal, this has to mean that there's going to be a tied vote. They're going to have a tiebreaker, and then they're going to go to rocks. And they paced the show well enough, and they edited the show well enough with the part of it was using the flashback, because that flashback took up a couple of those minutes that it took away our ability to do it, because we've done it before. We've been messaging before where we're like, oh, it feels like it's a tie. And then you look and they're voting and it's, 5 minutes from the end of the show. You're like, no, there's not enough time for a tie. They're just going to vote. He's going to read the votes and somebody's going home. And they played with that a little bit tonight. They messed with me at least. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I really appreciated the way they edited that part.
No, I think you're spot on. I think that, the pacing of the episode definitely added to the suspense because I was like, man, this Cody's done for. not necessarily Cody, but like his the plan. I thought the plan was dead in the water. Like, I didn't think they were going to be able to accomplish anything tonight on what they planned to do because Cody was stupid enough to go pick up a boy wear advantage right before tribal. Like, I thought that was really dumb.
Well, Cody could have been in trouble because think about it. If he goes home tonight, Jesse now has no choice. Or if NECA goes home tonight, Jesse can't work with Cody. He's got to work with Justine and Dwight and the other girl's name, who's Noelle. Is that her name?
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
He's got to work with those three. Cody's done. He is done. If he does not have his vote tonight and it goes to Rocks, because my wife and I were trying to figure out the voting process, but I really think that it wouldn't have gone to Rocks. It would have gone to a tiebreaker, and then the people involved would have had the best, would have known that it was best for business. Just go ahead and send. It might have been Cody.
Because he puts you in the situation, you wouldn't have had to. This wouldn't even be a tiebreaker if he'd have just stayed away from the beware advantage. We got to send him home, like, because it's just the most fair way to do this and not have anybody have a big brother term here, blood on their hands. It's the cleanest cut possible is to just take him out.
So it really was. If he doesn't, once he picked up that beware advantage, he had to finish the task or he was potentially going home tonight. And if not, definitely going home the next time his tribe goes to tribal. So I'm with you. I really appreciated that. That also ties into my next segue, which just kind of continues the conversation. So that's why I wanted to just throw it in there. I don't 100% know how I feel about the change to the beware advantage because the absolute perfect person picked it up tonight. You know, we talked about the change from last year where it was the three weird phrases. Well, now you've got to get this bead off of, you know, there's a specific bead on everybody's bag that you've got to get. And almost anybody else in this season, I don't know that they could have been able to pull it off. But Cody is the perfect person to have picked it up. First of all, he had already been making that hat, which was the perfect, like, MacGuffin for this story, for lack of a better word. Like, the hat doesn't have any real meaning in the story, but it becomes central to the story because of what he adds to it with the beads. But he's the kind of person who could have just been like, hey, man, I'm really vibing with this tribe. I'm out here just living. You know, it's tattooed on his butt, literally. I'm out here just living. And I just, you know, before anybody goes home, I want something to remember all of you by. And I was noticing that our bags all kind of have these little different beads on them. You know, I was looking at mine, looking at Jesse's, and ours are different. I assume everybody else is different. You guys think that, like, I could just get, like, maybe one of these beads that's a little bit different off your bag? But before somebody's got to go home, like, he could have done that and gotten away with it. But he had the hat, which was an even better vehicle for it. And I actually think, I don't really know, like, looking back at that flashback, I don't know how much trouble they actually had getting the beads from Noel. But really what bit him is how willing everybody else was to give him all of their beads. Because if anybody, you know, obviously Jesse and NECA were going to give him their beads. But like if Dwight had been like, hey man, I really don't want to give you all of my beads, that would have given him a chance to say, all right, well, I mean, I can probably make it work if you just give me like one, like what about that big one right there? But once everybody else was like, sure, take all of my beads, it made it really difficult when Noel wasn't willing to do that off the bat. But I just thought it worked. It was like the perfect symphony of the right person finding that particular advantage because they have to get that one particular bead from everybody in the tribe and they can't steal it. They have to convince the person to give it to them. And he's the guy who's quirky enough to do that.
Well, but he also, talking about convincing people, he's a master convincer. He is an elevator salesman.
He does sell the elevators.
I'm sorry, but like we're gonna stick with that all season. Like any chance I can ever bring that up, I'm gonna do it.
And I just wonder, are we getting set up? Because it's not just us sticking with it. It was a theme tonight where, like, he was talking to Jesse about their need to get Justine out, and it came back up.
Yeah.
She's a salesman. You can't trust salesmen. You just can't. Like, is that going to be a thing that eventually is going to come out where, like, he has to admit that he's a salesman? Or is that going to be the thing where he saves that? Is he sitting at Final Tribal and he says, guys, I started out this journey convincing y'all to get Justine out because she's a salesman. I'm a salesman.
Yeah.
And
I sell the most ridiculous things possible.
Elevators of all things.
I'm not even one of those like super sleazy salesmen, or I'm also just not one of those people that are selling some crazy product that, like, you know, it'd be tough to sell. I'm selling something that, like, either you got a need for it or you don't.
Yeah. You know, it's like
selling car insurance to somebody that rides a bike.
it's like selling surfboards, you know? Like, I mean, do you surf? No, then you don't need a surfboard. It's just a very, very weird thing.
Like you're in Nebraska trying to sell surfboards.
Yeah, it's a very strange concept. But, like, I just thought he was the perfect person to find it, because there are a lot of people that could find this and it would have been a dud out of the gate. And there are some people that may find him. I mean, what this also opens up is that, you know, one of the other issues of the Beware Advantage before is that once one of them was found, the suspense on the others wasn't there. When somebody, when Blue Tribe found it, when Green Tribe found theirs, right, it was like, well, you know, we know what that is. And if you were paying attention when they were holding the paper, you might have even known what they were going to have to say. But with this, they don't. The one for the Blue Tribe could be completely different. The one for the Yellow Tribe could be completely different. They don't all have to be the same. So there could be different. They could. This one could be perfect for Cody, but the one for the Red or for the Blue Tribe might be something that somebody over there would be good at. Because both salesmen were on that Red Tribe. So this is something that's more for a salesman. There may be something that they've kind of gamed the tribes a little bit to where the people on one of those other tribes is going to be better at doing what's in their Beware Advantage. Or it could be the same thing. We won't know until one of the other tribes finds theirs. So I don't know. I think I will know better how I feel if somebody from one of the other tribes finds a Beware Advantage and it's not a task that's in their wheelhouse.
Right.
That, like, if NECA had found this, I don't know that that's a strong suit for her, convincing people to give stuff. Although, heck, she got a couple of those strings of beads tonight for Cody just by saying, oh, you mean you're not going to give him your beads? Why won't you give him your beads? And it was...
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
It was very strong.
Stop being selfish.
It was very heavy-handed, and it worked, which is really strange. And I think it worked because the people that she did that to, Dwight and Noel, thought she was going home. And she knew they thought she was going home. So there wasn't a risk. It wasn't like she was putting any sort of status at risk, because they were already going to vote for her or wanted her or were, you know, Dwight wasn't voting for her, but he was going along with the idea that she was being voted out. So it kind of made her the perfect ally for that gimmick. There's so many elements of that particular item that work together as kind of a symphony, if you will. And it made for some really good television. I'm curious to see how the others will work out.
Yeah. I'm just a big fan of Cody. So I'm going to hop into my next takeaway real quick. Cause you talk about his ability to convince and that ability to be really quirky, and it works, and, you know, all that good stuff. I really liked the part of the show, though, where we got to know Cody. Like, not quirky Cody, not, you know, off the wall Cody, not elevator salesman Cody. We got to know Cody. And I'm talking about where he gets to share his story. And Survivor's been really good about this the last few seasons, have really given us a glimpse into these individuals, like, stories, especially the key players, the people that are maybe going to survive towards the end, or at least make the merge. We get these really cool, you know, was it Roxroy that we got the, he was like blind or like going blind or something? And
yeah, we got the moment where like his eyes, he has some sort of eye issue where he is eventually going to be blind, I think. I believe yeah, was the case.
Yeah, there's something there. And like he ended up being a really key player in the season. Even though he went out, was it right after the merge, but like he's still a key player. And like, so Cody got that tonight. And it was a really touching moment of about how his friend had passed away from cancer. And it was, the other part was like he and, is it Noel? They connected about her losing her leg, if I remember right. And like, so that's how we got the segue, our favorite word here at the Blindside Rewind, which is on Twitter if you want to follow us. Anyway, I got the plug and the segue in all in one sentence. We're good. I know, we're living. But there was that moment where, like, they connect about her losing her leg. I didn't really know how that was going to go because he started talking about, is it have hydraulics in it? And I was like, oh, gosh. Cody, just be quiet, brother. I'm going to need you to just calm this down. Like, we're not doing this tonight. And then all of a sudden, like, he explained to her, like, yeah, my buddy lost his leg. And I was like, oh, we're about to get a really touching moment. And we did. You know, it wasn't exactly what I thought we were going towards. It was a very big 180, like big pivot. And we get this story of how his friend had cancer. It's why he has this motto of living. It's because he wants to live carefree-ish. And we just really get a glimpse into kind of like why he is quirky and why he's got that, you know, that carefree attitude. And it comes from a place where I think like most people can understand and connect with that, right? Like, you know, we've all, for the most part, had somebody we know that has dealt with cancer. That's something that most people, like, you know somebody, you know a friend, you know a family member, somebody's dealt with cancer if you yourself haven't dealt with it. So it's just that universal, it's a universal story in some ways. And I really just appreciated the edit on that because I didn't know where we were headed with Cody because he is so quirky and carefree. He starts asking about hydraulics and I just didn't know where we were headed. And it turns into this beautiful story. And I really think that it's setting up for Cody's got a legitimate shot to win this season.
He does. And he was the last pick in our draft. So we're really good. If you want to know somebody who's at least going to make a deep run, you might want to look at who we pick last in our drafts. Because Cody was our last in this one, and at least right now, he looks like somebody who can make a little run. Romeo, finalist Romeo, was our last pick in season 42.
And we guaranteed Romeo was the first boot.
Yeah, I mean,
we said we would eat a hat or get dropped a house on us or some really weird like bet.
We were adamant that he was going first, and we could not have been more wrong. I mean, I guess we could have been more wrong if he had won. That's basically the only way we could have been more wrong. Now, we did do pretty well. We said Eric Abraham was going to be – Eric Abraham was our last pick for season 41, and he went very early. He wasn't first, but he went very early.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You don't even remember Eric Abraham. He went very early. I don't think it was either first or second episode. So
who's that guy? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I remember him. He was kind of loud or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They didn't like him. He was kind of bossy, but anyway.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that story. I enjoyed the moment with Noel because it was like, clumsily compassionate, I guess is the best way to put it. Like he didn't say it all very well. But he showed genuine interest, and I think that people that have, whether it's a disability or an amputation situation like what Noel has or anything like that, at least from my experience, people that have those situations, they are more appreciative of the genuine curiosity. Even if it comes out like that thing got hydraulics in it, then when it's, oh, is it hard? Is it difficult to not have, how have you adjusted to only having one leg? Like, when it's like, that felt genuine to me, and I'm sure Noel really appreciated it, actually.
Yeah. No, I didn't know where we were headed. We got a great moment, and you're right. It was genuine. I think that's what gives Cody, and that was kind of the point that I didn't make because I'm off my game. But, like, my point, I guess, is Cody being this genuine is what's going to either make or break his game. People are going to realize how genuine he is and realize we got to get this dude out of here because his social game is going to be top tier that we can't touch it. Or this is what's going to be that wins him the whole game is because he does have an incredible social game because it's backed by him just being a genuine person. Like, you get 100% Cody, you don't have to worry, like, is Cody gaming me right now? Nah, Cody's not gaming me. And he may be, but because he's presented himself as this genuine guy who, I won't say he doesn't care what he says, but, like, what he says, what comes up, comes out, and it's not a bad thing in this situation. Now, I say that, and then next week he's going to say something stupid, and I'll be like, yeah, that makes a lot more sense. But, like, for now, if I had to give you a reason why somebody in this game is going to win, it's Cody and him being genuine.
Yeah. Well, and what I also like about Cody, who is his number one? Like, guaranteed, everybody in the tribe knows it. Who's his number one?
I don't know.
It's NECA. What did we talk about last week? The non-homogenous alliances. Where he's this 35-year-old, physically fit white dude. He lives in Honolulu now, but he's from Iowa. There is no more just like run-of-the-mill state in America than Iowa. You know, he's just salt of the earth, regular old white dude, if I'm being honest. And they just decided, you know, because of this remarkable story, to just go bananas in a good way. But he's physically fit. He's a He's a little bit older than I thought he was. He and NECA are actually pretty close in age. He's 35, she's 43. But he's a physical asset to his tribe. She is of Nigerian descent. She is not a physical asset to the tribe. And in a lot of seasons of Survivor, somebody like Cody walks up on the beach. He's immediately teaming with Justine. He's teaming with Jesse. Maybe teaming with Dwight because they're men. He's teaming with Noelle. She's an athlete. And he's in that group that's getting NECA out because she's the weak link, right? Like, that's how this goes. He walks on the beach. He immediately teams up with NECA, the person who is the least like him on his tribe. And he targets Justine, who in most seasons would have been his natural ally. They have similar careers. They are both, I don't know what nationality she is, but, like, they're similar ages. He's one of the more attractive men in his own way, I guess. Young and sort of conventionally attractive. She's youngish and sort of conventionally attractive. They would have been the match. They would have been the Taylor and Figgy of this season.
Well, I mean, that gets you both voted out pretty quick.
Right. And he immediately went 180 and went to that one person who doesn't make any sense to be his ally. That's his strongest ally. And it didn't really work for him. Like, he lost his vote. She was on the chopping block. But, man, he has survived. And I think it's going to make him a stronger player. So, I'm loving everything we're getting from Cody, including the hat, which means he and his hat are probably going home next week. But, probably, you know, so. On the flip side of that, I really think we saw, you know, last week I really felt like Ellie. I don't remember if I picked her as my winner pick. I may have. I think we saw the beginning of why maybe she's somebody who's not long with the game. I don't think it's the worst edit by any stretch, but I wonder if we started seeing the seeds planted for her tribe doesn't appreciate her being this mother figure. Her tribe doesn't appreciate, Owen, do you need to take some time off from working on the Was it a fire he was working on? He was working on something. I think it was a fire. Do you need to take a break from that so you don't get so frustrated? Right, yeah. You know, when you get frustrated, it makes it harder to do. Like, he seemed sort of genuinely appreciative of that moment tonight, because it's true. You know, when you get frustrated with something, it gets harder. It gets more difficult to complete a task when you're frustrated. We all know that. But we also, gets really frustrating is having someone point that out to you while you're frustrated. So I just wonder if we saw the beginning of the end tonight for Ellie, if we saw that thing that starts to stick in people's craw, so to speak.
I could see that. Yeah, I mean, it's still really early, and like that could be pointing to who goes out very soon, or it could be one of those that's like is going to make a deep run and has a chance to win because, you know, they're planting seeds of like, it's similar to like, remember when Marianne got the edit, like second or third episode where she's annoying. She's so loud. I'm so tired of this. We're going to send her home. And then she won. So like,
right.
That's where, because of the editing jobs they've done recently in the last couple seasons, it's harder to read into that and say, oh, well, that probably means they're going home, which is something we could have done in the past because of the editing. Now, because the editing has been so good of, like, not giving away the winner within the first two episodes, and, like, we still man-nailed who the winner is. Like, we both got two picks. Odds are with those four, like, we probably nailed a finalist in the four that we picked. And so, for me, like, it's still hard, though, to gauge at least early pre-merge because of moments like we got with Marianne, like, of she's annoying. So, like, there was a while there where, like, I told you I thought somebody from her tribe was going to win it because that, like, that was who they focused on a lot for a tribe that didn't go to tribal. And then, like, I ranked her dead last in that tribe of potential winners.
Yeah, no, we did that for a while. We had her dead last. And I also think it speaks to something that's true of anything that you're writing. You and I are both wrestling fans. Whether it's a regular TV show, whether it's a Survivor. When you have control over elements of the show, whether it's a completely scripted show or whether it's a complete reality show like Survivor, when you have control over elements of it, though, all it takes is one time doing it a little different. Because Cody's Beware Advantage is different from the season 41 and season 42 Beware Advantages. Next season, they can go right back, or maybe in season, because I guess they've already taped 43 and 44, right? Or if they just tape 43, either way, the next one, you know, the next time they have somebody, a group out there that has seen 43, they can go right back to the Beware Advantages from 41 and 42 if they want to, because the people who have seen both will go, hey, I really think I'm good at that bead thing. I really think that's something I could do. And it's something that I'm in control of, like you were talking about. It's not something I have to wait on two other people to do it. So they pick up a Beware Advantage that they wouldn't have picked up after 41 and 42, and you hit them with the same thing they were trying to avoid. All it takes is one time. And this is what you're talking about with Marianne is very similar. They could send home Ellie next week, and we'd be like, yep, we saw it coming. Mm-hmm. But because of that moment with Marianne, we're in doubt. Because of that, because we saw that they were pointing us right to Marianne's going home the next time she goes to tribal. She was even in a little bit of trouble after the merge, I think. And it just never came to fruition. It just never happened. And so because they did it that one time where they showed us this is why she isn't like, this is planting the seeds. Mm-hmm. We even talked about it on this podcast that, oh, they had to show us why this person who had been so well-liked, so bubbly, such a great personality, everybody likes her, why she's going to go home in a couple weeks. They had to do something to show us that. And that wasn't what it was. They were throwing us off the scent because they did it that one time. For the next five seasons, they could telegraph the bejesus out of every elimination. But we'll keep in our mind, we'll know they did it differently with Marianne.
Well, and like, that's one of those where, like, was it JD? They edited really well the first couple episodes of his season. And he went home right after that. Like, you know, you and I both were like, huh, yeah, they sure are giving this guy a lot of screen time. He might actually have a shot. Okay, well, he's gone. And so, like, because they've kind of gone back and forth with how they're editing, because maybe it's just me, but, like, for a while there, it felt very cookie cutter of, like, and that's what made it so predictable, is, like, if you were getting a very specific edit, like, you were going home. Or if you were getting this specific edit, you were the winner. Or if you were getting this, like, we don't have that right now. Even Erica.
There was a stretch.
Even Erica, man, like, she was somebody I thought was about to go home. And yeah, even
there was a stretch.
Even after the hourglass, I'm sorry to interrupt. But like,
yeah, no,
even
go ahead.
After the hourglass, I still thought she was going home soonish. And, like, I didn't really bank on her winning until, like, the last couple episodes.
It wasn't until we got the final six that you and I said, nah, Erica's going to win. And unless this thing happens, she's going to win. Like, if it gets to this, she's going to win. And there was a stretch there where even people like Tyson, who very few people on this planet know this game better than Tyson Apostle. He knows the game. Even among Survivor players, I think he has a better grasp of what it takes to win and the editing and all of that than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Even he would have told you, when you start seeing somebody's life story, when you start seeing pictures of them as a child, especially in these early episodes, they're going home. Well, we got Marianne's life story pretty early last season. And we've gotten lots of people's life stories that we saw it in the first couple weeks, and then they were there until the end. And there have been people that never got the life story, and then they were gone. So they started playing with all the tropes, all the things that you think are true or not true. One thing that remains true is that last week and the next time on Survivor, they showed us all the stuff with Cody, and somebody said Cody has to go. And it remains true that when you see that on the next time on Survivor, that person's not going anywhere.
Except wasn't there a time last year where they did that and the person actually went?
It might have been.
Like, I'm pretty sure there was an episode last season where they set a specific person and you were like, yeah, that they're messing with us again. Or you were like, well, that's the one that they're not going to mess with us. Like, that person's safe. Might have been the Shan episode. So it might have been two seasons ago. Anyway, so well, Shan's got to go home. And then we get to the episode and I'm darn, Shan goes home.
Yeah. So even that day they turned on its head. But I think that one is just you get more of those because every
episode has
every
one.
Preview, they show you somebody who is being heavily targeted. And
which makes sense as to why you'd want to turn that one on its head more often too.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just a larger sample size on that than some of the other things.
But that's the one I would probably lean towards of like, whenever they say this, like, we automatically think, oh, well, that person's not going home. They should more often send that person home.
Right.
Because apparently they've got an edit for everybody going home. Like, somebody saying somebody's going home, you know? So, like...
Well, I would imagine that, like, over the course... With all the conversations that they tape over the course of those couple of days on the island, I bet a bulk of the people... they have a clip of somebody saying, or they have a clip that they can quickly edit where it says, so-and-so's got to go home. Even if it's as simple as like, man, if we can't get this fire going soon, Cody's got to go home. And it's like an inside joke. But then they've got that clip where they just run, Cody's got to go home. Did you have any more takeaways, or do you want to get into our best and worst edits?
Let's go ahead and hit those best and worst.
I'm going to go ahead and do my best edit. And and let you let you do yours. I thought we're probably going to be in the same tribe, and that's okay. I thought Dwight had a really good edit. Because and it may come back to bite him. This may be one where we see next episode we get kind of the backlash of this, but or the blowback, I guess is better the better word, better compound word there. But he didn't have a vote. Everybody knew he didn't have a vote. He was never in trouble. And he wasn't exactly in a position of power because they even talked about it tribal, like, you know, they got these two and these two, and then these two are kind of in the middle. We don't know if they're a pair or if they're just they're just kind of hanging out. And it would have seemed like this, the just the obvious thing to do would be like, well, Dwight doesn't have a vote, doesn't really have an ally. What if we just get rid of Dwight? And that never came up. And part of the reason it never came up is because he has established himself as such a force on that tribe that you had people coming to him and talking to him about what the plan was, even though he was repeatedly saying, I don't even have a vote. But this is what I want. This is what I think should happen. And that's power, man. That's, we talked about it with Omer last time, that power and the way he ended up flexing it kind of ended up being his undoing, but that's power.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. I will stay in this tribe. And I'll go with Cody. I know it seems like an obvious choice. Maybe I'm just on the Cody bandwagon, and that's fine. I'll be a party of one for right now, unless you want to hop on with me. I just thought that, like, again, we got a lot from him in this episode, so it's hard for him not to be my best edit. We got the personal touching story, right? We got quirkiness. We got some adversity. We got everything that you would want for an early season, like, person you'd have to be your winner kind of guy. He got all that in one episode. Like, he got the Marianne, like you mentioned earlier, you're like, man, you know, one thing goes wrong here, like, Cody's in trouble. He's the one that goes home. And, like, that's a legitimate outcome from this episode, is he goes home. So, to me, because of that Marianne thing that we talked about, having that biggest swing between, like, outcomes of, like, man, he's really, really safe, like, he's going to be here for the long haul, versus, like, he could go home tonight, makes him an intriguing edit to watch, because you don't know where, you don't know which way they're swerving you. Because, I mean, we talk a lot about wrestling as being kind of another thing that you and I both enjoy, and you just never know when they're going to swerve you or hit you with the patented double swerve. Or you know, and reverse it on you. And so, like, because of that big line of outcomes, it was like, to me, that's what I look for right now in potential winners, is having adversity early in the season could be a good thing. So we got some of that from him. We got the personal story. We got all the things. And when you add it up, it's really hard not to look at him and say, man, that's a strong potential winner right there.
Yeah, he's at least playing the Shan role.
If nothing else, you're right. He's got the Shan role early on of he's going to dominate early, get sent out right after the merge, and we're going to and he's going to be somebody we want to see come back and play. And that's a good edit to have, in my opinion. Like, if you're not going to win, that's probably one of the top three edits. I'd rather be Shan than Romeo, right? Over the last few seasons, well, I mean, other than Romeo probably got a little more money, but, like, Shan's going to get to come back. I don't know that Romeo would be asked back.
Didn't Shan get invited to be on the challenge?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Romeo did not.
Well, I don't know what Romeo's challenging, but yeah. he's just so funny. But, like, so, again, it's that big personality, the things that – like, if nothing else, you're going to see Cody play. Like, these are the – when we're looking for the next generation of Survivor stars, the Parvs, the Tonys, the people that are going to carry the – like, when we watch a Heroes versus Villains, Heroes versus Villains, in season like 60 of this show, people like Cody are going to be on there. And they may have never won.
Right.
But like they're going to be on that season because of things like tonight.
Yeah, because of episodes like this are the ones that set up those characters.
Right.
Without an episode like tonight, we're not invested. When you invite Cody back, it's like, why? Because he's got a funny haircut? Like, what is the deal? Episodes like tonight set up right. why he's important. But that hat instantly becomes iconic because what's great about that hat is it wasn't conjured. It was, he's from Hawaii, or he lives in Hawaii now. They make those hats in Hawaii. He made it with, he was making it with the palm fronds. And then he happened to find this thing that the hat became a part of his game. And he was going to wear it, and he wore it to Tribal. But now he's sitting at Tribal with the beads that he wove in to earn an idol woven into his hat. Like, this is, like, that becomes like a Survivor relic. You know, Cody's hat is now up there with some of those other things that we talk about, the stick. The fake idols that people have made, James's idols that he found
James's in play. Idols.
All those Survivor relics, Tony's
the two
Tony's go ahead, spy shack, things like that.
Yeah. The two fake idols that Rick made.
Yeah, this is
in the last in the last episode of 38.
The letter that JT wrote, Russell. This becomes one of those relics of and one of those iconic moments, especially if he makes a deep run and especially if he wins. This becomes one of those iconic moments of him sitting there with this hat right. that he made. And two people know that this hat is essentially an immunity idol that they helped him make, but the other three have no idea that they helped him make an immunity idol.
Right. Well, and like, imagine right. when he plays it. Like, that's gonna be an iconic moment, especially if he plays it correctly. And when I don't mean just correctly, but like, imagine he plays this at final seven, and all the votes are on him. He plays it, nullifies the vote, sends home his biggest competition, goes and wins the next immunity challenge. And wins the whole thing because of this. Like, that's the kind of edit that we could be getting from him. And, like, that's going to be an iconic moment in Survivor lore is because, like, that hat's going to go down that way. And so, like you said, this is the kind of episode that, if nothing else, has made him a returnee as long as he doesn't do anything else stupid the rest of the season.
Yeah. So, I'll go ahead and do my worst edit. I want to steal this one because I'm going to say that it is Cassidy. Do you even know who Cassidy is? That's the point. She's on the Blue Tribe. Last week we talked about, and this is the nature of the beast, okay? Last week we talked about how they did a really good job of editing up everybody. Everybody got a moment. Everybody got some play. Everybody got some airtime. Cassidy got nothing tonight. And I just don't think that's very good. And granted, her tribe won immunity, but so did the Yellow Tribe. And we got to see the Yellow Tribe in action. We just didn't see a lot from the Blue Tribe, but we did see we got a good story from Gio. We got a nice little building of a relation of a friendship between Gio and Ryan. They're on the Blue Tribe. We got to hear from Carla, who's on the Blue Tribe. Not so much from James or Lindsay, but we got nothing from Cassidy. She is kind of faded into the background, and that's just I don't see that being a good thing for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and this goes back to, was it like Heather? Where for the first like four episodes of this podcast when we were reviewing that season, she was like our worst edit every week because she just wasn't seen. And like, that's really tough. Like, that's a tough edit to be a part of because you, like, imagine you go on the show, you're really excited about your role, and you're probably doing stuff out there. But you get home and you tell all your friends and family, and then you sit down and you watch the show, and then you're just kind of non-existent. Heather specifically had to be really tough because, like, she made it to almost the end.
Right.
And, like, never really got anything. And so, yeah, like, basically you're telling this person, yeah, you're not interesting. Like, that's just so, like, to me, that'd be so terrible. Like, I would rather go out on the first or second episode in a blaze of glory than to be non-existent edited for, like, 7 episodes.
You mentioned JD. Go out like JD did. We're like, yeah, he went out because he was just too much personality.
Brad,
yeah. Go out like one of them. We're like, I remember them a lot better than people who actually made it far in their seasons. And so, yeah, I kind of see Cassidy kind of getting faded into that kind of role.
Well, and like Brad and JD probably could come back and I wouldn't bat an eye. Heather comes back, I'll be like, huh? What are we doing? And like, wow. I like Heather. I was a Heather fan for a lot of the season. I was really excited and I really thought she was getting the Erica edit of like, they're going to fade her into the background. She's going to come on strong at the end and win. Like, I really thought like that was the edit we were getting, and then that never happened. And she almost won Fire.
Like, yeah.
She almost beat, was it Sean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was just really frustrating to watch that season and see her get nothing. And so, like, that would be my worry with Cassidy. And, like, I would, like I said, I'd rather be the Brad of the season than to be the Heather of the season. Because at least I probably have a shot at coming back just because I'm a character. Versus, yeah, I mean, I finished 4th and that's really cool. But, I mean, there's some seasons I can't tell you who finished 4th. There's some seasons right. I can only tell you the 4th place finisher. Because right. That was the best player. Like Rick finished 4th.
Right.
Couldn't tell you who finished. I guess Julie finished 3rd. But, like, you know, most of our, I couldn't tell you who finished 3rd some seasons, but I can tell you who finished 4th.
But yeah, third, I can't tell you. Because I couldn't pick Julie out of a lineup. I'll tell you that.
Right. And, like, she had that same kind of edit. It's like there's some season where, like, it's cool getting 4th, but, like, I don't remember Rick because he finished 4th. I remember Rick because he was a character. And so, yeah, like, where you finish doesn't necessarily matter. Like, there's some seasons where Tyson finished pre-merge. Tyson was a character.
Yeah, that's why he keeps coming back.
That's why he keeps coming back. And so, like, I'd rather be a character than be a Cassidy.
Wow. So is Cassidy also your worst at it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'll say, like, for the most part, like, and maybe it's my attention being in other places because of, you know, work and all that kind of stuff. But, like, cast as a whole outside like 4 or 5 people have not shown me a ton of character. And maybe it's not early, but like, and they have the unfortunate task of following up 2 of my favorite newbie casts in the last 10 seasons. Like,
yeah. I
really love the last 2 casts. And so, like, this cast has, at least through the first couple episodes, has not lived up to that same expectation. And that's not fair probably for me to have that expectation of them this early. But, like, outside of, like, Cody, and I think you mentioned Gio, and, like, there's a couple others that are, like, we're seeing some personality from them. Outside of that, hadn't been a ton of personality to go around.
Well, but the thing about it is, Gio and Ryan have great stories, and they've gotten screen time. I'm not super interested in them. And it's got nothing to do with the content of their stories. It's great stories. But when we switch back to them on the island, it's like, all right, well, there's that then. Yeah. It's just nobody has really grabbed my attention right. The way these last couple seasons have. Do you have a winner pick? Are you sticking with your pick last week? And if so, you need to remind me who that was because I've forgotten.
Pretty sure it was Cody and Lindsay.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think that's right. I think it was Cody and Lindsay. I could be wrong on the Cody one.
I picked Ellie at one point.
Picked Ellie and Owen.
Did I right? pick Owen? I hope so, because I thought my other option was Justine, and she went home tonight.
It could have been. I really thought it was Owen, though.
I'll go back and listen. Owen is going to be somebody that I think – all right, so you're sticking with yours, I think.
Yeah, I'll stick with mine.
I really like Owen. If Owen wasn't my pick last week, I picked him first in the draft. I went through some some struggles last week when I thought he might be going home, and I really think he's getting a solid edit for a long-term edit, because we've both episodes we've gotten where he wants to play, he wants to force the action, but he doesn't want to force it too hard. He doesn't want to he's known as a friendly curmudgeon back home, which was the name of the episode tonight, which I thought was interesting because that was kind of a throwaway moment in the episode.
Yeah.
He's known as a friendly curmudgeon at home, and he's trying not to be so grumpy on the island, but it's difficult because he's going to get water, and nobody's really worried about getting water, so he's having a truck through the jungle with this water. It's making him look like he peed his pants, and he's like having this external internal monologue as he's walking through the jungle where he's like, don't be mad. It's not their fault. These idiots don't want to drink water. I don't need water. Well, your urine looks like bouillon cubes is one thing he said. Like he's going through it, man. He's going through it. But we get these neat little side quests with just Owen where he's building a little arc, but it's not overt. It's not Cody. It's not Marianne from last year or Jonathan from last year. It's a very subtle build. And so I'm going to stick with him. He was my first pick. And I really think right now I think he's going to win, which probably means he's going home next week.
So I know we talked about last week that if one of the two people we picked at the beginning won, we'd get 5 points. I want to throw out another maybe change to that. And you tell me what you think. So as the season goes on, we get 4 changes. But when we change, it takes away the amount of points we can earn from that 5. So, like, if next week I change my pick from Lindsay to Owen and Owen wins, I get 4 points, right? And then, you know, as we kind of go through the season, before merge, you get at least 4 changes, whatever. But if you change, it impacts how many points you get, bonus points you get. So it's better to stick with the two you start with because that's the most bonus points you can get.
Yeah, I like that. So for now, I'll say mine are Ellie and Owen. And if Owen is a change, and obviously if your person leaves, you're forced to change. So
yeah,
I've either been forced to change or I'm changing to Owen. But I really think it's Owen is the better pick there.
Yeah, so I think that'll be a fun little format for us. It encourages us to think strategically of how we want to, you know, pick our winners at the end of every episode. I hope that the listeners can follow along with our little game and maybe, you know, send us a tweet with who you think is going to win now, and maybe we'll give you some bonus points. It doesn't mean anything.
Whose line is it anyway? The points don't matter.
The points don't matter, but if they did, me and Jeremy are tied right now. So
we are tied. Cody is coming up big for Justin.
He is. That's my boy.
So anyway, I've enjoyed this episode. I'm looking forward to the next one. It's an interesting build, even if there's not the strong characters of last season.
For sure. I'm excited. Again, I think I'm just excited to have Survivor again. You know, we had that layoff for COVID a couple years ago, and it's nice to be back in that rotation of, like, I can count on Survivor to be there in the fall. I can count on Survivor to be there in the spring. Like, I love it. Like, I'm as the kids say, thriving.
You are thriving. All right. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're thriving. I'm thriving. We're all thriving. Let's call it a night.